97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5, The Fanatic. Saturday afternoon, moving into the 5 o'clock hour. Earlier today, the 2020 Basketball Hall of Fame class was announced, highlighting that group of nine are Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett. Interesting that both KG and Kobe Bryant came into the NBA straight from high school. And earlier we were talking to Sonny Vaccaro about that because he had interactions with both those guys. Sonny Vaccaro, sports marketer with Nike, Adidas, Reebok through the years. Also part of the Dapper Dan Roundball Classic in Pittsburgh. It was great memory lane. Right now we're joined by Coach Lyon. And what's going on, Coach? How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. It's been a while. Everything all right down at the house?
Oh, yeah, you know, we're like everybody else, hunkering down. Take a little walk in the neighborhood, Big K and I, and that's about it.
Yes, it was fun to talk to Sonny Vaccaro, who I know you've known for a long, long time. And we were talking because he obviously knew Kobe, but also what it meant for him from a business standpoint. That was the first big signing for him when he had gone from Nike to Adidas, and what a signing it turned out to be. And those were big deals back then. I mean, Jordan, we talked about with him, but he was really also instrumental in coaches having shoe deals as well, which is how we all got to know him. But it got us talking about this 2020 Hall of Fame class, Kobe included, Kevin Garnett included, and obviously Tim Duncan, who came out of Wake Forest with a four-year college career. But I noticed, and I probably would not have remembered this until I went and looked at each of their draft class, that you were coaching Washington and selected one spot in front of where KG went, and you guys selected Rasheed Wallace, obviously a great player out of Philadelphia here. Did you know of KG? Was he on your, you know, whiteboard at any place?
Yes, to be honest, he was on the board, but I have to be frank and say, did I know him? Not really, meaning I didn't know his game. Back then, John Nash was the GM of Washington, the Washington Bullets at that time, and he certainly had knowledge of Kevin Garnett. But as you said, he was a high school player, and as a result, as an NBA coach at that time, I did not have, you know, a great deal of, you know, insight into, you know, who he was. I remember seeing a little bit of tape on him, but I really did not have a feel. And I'd have to say I had no idea. But again, some people, you know, are sharper than others when it comes to this. And Kevin McHale, who was the GM of Minnesota when they selected Garnett, and years later, I had gotten friendly with McHale. And I asked him one day, I said, like, when did you know about, you know, Garnett? Meaning, and I meant it, like, how good he was. And he looked me right in the eye, and he said, first time I set eyes on him.
Wow. And then he ends up taking him with that fifth pick. And I had to go and look. KG's second year in the league, he got them in the playoffs. And they had been a 21-win team the year before they select him. They 26 his rookie year, and he's not a automatic starter. Obviously, he's 19 years old, but that second year he got them into the postseason, which is pretty phenomenal for a young guy. And I'm curious, do you think having seen that a kid came out of college might have laid any groundwork for a Kobe a year later to then do the same thing and make the jump?
Well, I would say yes to your question, but I'll tell you, ironic that you had Sonny on the show. I did not hear that. And let me just put up a historical fact. Not only was Sonny Vaccaro a basketball shoe or sneaker aficionado over the years, he started, in my opinion, the whole craze with sneakers.
Yes.
He did it with insight. He never... Phil Knight never said, Phil Knight owns Nike, had never set eyes on Sonny Vaccaro, and Sonny had this idea. And obviously it was a grand slam that if you could put college teams in the shoe, that would be a tremendous form of marketing. And he was the first one to get a shoe company, namely Nike, to do that. They went to the college coaches and they enlisted them to put their teams in the shoe. And sure, they would pay the coach, you know, a stipend to do so. You weren't forced to put everybody in the shoe, but they made the shoe available and gear to go with it. So that was the first step. And then the second step, as you probably talked about with them, was identifying star players,
right,
and tie them into a particular shoe, the first being obviously Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well, that was one of the key things, because I asked him, you know, what was bigger. And his whole thing was, because of Nike being so entrenched in the college before the Jordan, the Air Jordan sneaker, he's like, you know, they weren't an orphan. They were going to be fine even if we didn't do that, right? Now he ends up hitting a home run. Whereas with Kobe rejuvenated and put basketball Adidas on the map because of hitting that home run with Kobe Bryant, which was not the same because they had none of the college market at that time.
No, exactly. And I think you mentioned Sonny also. He was the godfather of the All-Star games.
Yeah.
The Dapper Dan game in Pittsburgh was the first game.
Exactly. That's what I said. I don't think people realize, but I rattled off some of the alumni of that game, and it's got a really impressive list for
sure.
Yeah,
I don't know that today's world would relate to it, but I'll tell you, the guy who got the game off, I don't know if Sonny mentioned his name, was Calvin Murphy. He was the star of Sonny's first big Dapper Dan game.
Well, I
mentioned Dapper Dan game.
Yeah, Calvin Murphy was on that list.
Yes, was the Pennsylvania All-Stars versus U.S. All-Stars. And there was a preliminary game, Eastern Pennsylvania versus Western Pennsylvania, you know, for the lower recruits. But the big game was, it was just that. They got them all in those early years. And it turned into a, you know, something that the rest of the world copied because it was so popular. But Sonny Vaccaro, he was on the cutting edge of a lot of this. But I'll tell you an interesting story about Kobe. Obviously, I knew Kobe being from Philadelphia. I knew Kobe when he was growing up as a young fella, when his dad Joe was still playing overseas in Italy, and they would come back in the summer. And Kobe would be, you know, around the Sunny Hill Lake, working out, playing, whatever. And one summer, it was after Kobe's junior year in high school, my wife, your mom, and I were in Las Vegas at where we used to go to Caesars. And I'm walking through the lobby. This is a true story. Literally walking through the lobby of Caesars and bump Sonny Vaccaro. Now, Sonny has a home. He lives in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So we chat for like a couple of minutes. It's like midsummer. And he literally, in the middle of the conversation, he says to me, he said, "I need a favor." And I say, go ahead. He said, "Meet me here at 6 o'clock. He said, I want you to do a favor with me. So I say, "Fine." So I went and grabbed a bite with your mom, come back, meet him 6 o'clock. He's out front, get in the car. And I say, "Where are we headed?" He said, "We're going to a game." And I said, "You got to be kidding." So he said, "No." And I knew he was having he had a Nike Jordan, I guess you would call it. All the AAU teams would come to Vegas.
Huh?
So we drive a short distance over to a high school. And big gym, three games about ready to start. And I'm looking to get the stands and the game we're going to watch. And as they're shooting layups, I see Kobe Bryant. And obviously I know who Kobe is. So I say to Sonny, "Kobe." He said, "Yeah, that's who we're here to see." So I turned to him. I said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, I know Kobe. He said, "Just watch. I want you to watch the game." So we sit, we watch the game. Game ends. Sonny Vaccaro turns and says, "What do you think?" And I literally didn't know what he meant. I said, "Think about what?" He said, "The kid, Kobe." I said, "I already told you I know Kobe." "No, no," he said. "Is he ready?" And when he said that, I had no idea what he was talking about.
But
I said, "Ready for what?" He said, "For your league." Direct quote, "For your league." And I said, "You got to be kidding me. Are you out of your mind?" And I went on a tirade saying how, you know, Kobe was maybe one of the top prospects in high school, but ready for the NBA. I said, "Sonny, that would be," I said, "they call boys against men." Little did I realize.
Right. Well, it's interesting you say that because he had a conversation with Kevin Garnett, called him, and Kevin Garnett had played in his Round Ball Classic. And it was before, when he's trying to decide where, you know, is he going to go to college? Is he going to go overseas? And Sonny remembered giving him advice. Look, even if you're wrong, it's $10 million for you. And they had that conversation. And that's how KG, that's one of the conversations that had him go as a high school kid into that 95 draft. And so that would be probably what led him to that conversation.
Well, I'll tell you who you could talk to sometime is John Nash.
Yep, I know.
John Nash was the general manager of the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, he wanted
John
Kobe.
Calipari was going to be the first-year head coach. John Calipari, Kentucky coach, was going to be the first-year head coach of what was then the New Jersey Nets. John Nash knew of Kobe, wanted to draft Kobe, was ready to draft Kobe. And Sonny was a part of the scheme that scared Calipari off because it was already set in stone.
Yeah, that he was going to go to L.A. in a trade.
Exactly.
Yep.
Via
Lotte Diva. Yep, exactly.
Had Calipari held his guns, he would not have. Kobe would not have been available for the Lakers because the New Jersey Nets would have drafted him.
Yeah, they would have. Absolutely. All right. The one caller brought up, just because we start talking about Hall of Fame. Now, these guys have 11 titles between the three of them, of Kobe, KG, and Tim Duncan. But there are some classes that have people that don't have the same kind of numbers / ilk that these three do. Tracy McGrady's name came up, and then that person asked, the caller asked, you know, a guy like a Rasheed Wallace, if you take, because in basketball, the Naismith, they do consider, like a Bill Bradley is known and is in there, he went in 83 because of his time at Princeton and then his time with the New York Knicks, where he was part of two championships. So this guy asked about Rasheed Wallace. And as I said, without even looking, I know that statistically there's not going to be numbers that jump off the page, that he was an excellent teammate and made teams really, really good. He was key to Detroit winning a championship, obviously. But how good would you say Rasheed was? Where would you put him? Like, not superstar for me, but probably better than most people would give him?
Yeah, I'd be right with you, D. You know, I'm a huge Rasheed fan, number one. I consider him a friend, number two. I know him all the way back when he was in high school. And I would say it this way, like his numbers, you know, are really, really good. Are they Hall of Fame numbers? Probably not. He has, as you say, one NBA title, and that he was the guy to get that team over the hump.
Exactly.
They already had Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars. They needed somewhat Rip Hamilton, but they needed that extra, and Rasheed was that, you know, missing link for sure. And I will say this. I used to, when I was out in Portland with Maurice Cheeks as Maurice's assistant, you know the type of guy she was.
Oh, yeah.
To his teammates and coaches, it was a love affair.
Yep.
He was like the best. However, to the front office, at times he was a nightmare.
Yeah, well, he got a lot of technical fouls, that's for
sure. Well, I just want to say, his antics with the refs, and he spoke his mind.
Yes.
And from time to time, I would put down, really do research on the statistics, and you can do this research yourself, anybody who would so choose. Sheed's numbers against the other stars of his day were like off the charts good. Like him versus, he bested Kevin Garnett head to head.
Wow. Well, that was part of what this caller was at. That's what brought it up for him.
Well, I got news for you. That he's on target. I used to run those numbers really in defending Sheed, because they were always wanting to talk about the possibility of trading.
Of moving him, yeah.
Which eventually they did, to Atlanta.
And then Atlanta for a millisecond to then get him to the Pistons.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. But to your question about Sheed and Hall of Fame, I don't know if, you know, what they deem as credentials.
Exactly.
You know, would ever get him in. But I'll say it this way. I always do it from a coaching perspective. You bring your guy, I'll bring Sheed. Let's throw it up.
That's probably what he was thinking when he used to play you in poker on those plane rides home. You bring your hand, I'll bring my hand.
That's another story, Debo. Let's not go there.
All right, this is the last question because it was posed to me. If you were starting a team, just because they're out there in conversation today, and you could pick one of the three, Kobe, Duncan, or KG, which one would you take?
Yeah, and let's establish at the top, you are talking about three of the greatest of all time.
Correct. As I said, there's no wrong answer.
No, there isn't. But for me, I'm partial, being from Philadelphia, not because I feel I had a relationship with him more so than the other two, I would take Kobe.
Yeah, that's who I selected.
He was the closest thing to Michael Jordan. And LeBron's in the conversation, obviously, with Jordan for the greatest of all time. But I would put Jordan on the top shelf.
Yep.
LeBron second. But of the three you're talking about, I would take Kobe if I were starting a team.
Yep. Of those three, yep. All right, Coach, I appreciate it. It's always fun to catch up. And thanks for the stories.
Likewise. And thank goodness for talk radio in these tough times. Good stuff. Memory is a precious thing. And
all right, wait. I you didn't join us last week. I probably could have had you on, but I did have a conversation. I should have asked you this question. I was saying, do you remember one of your first games where you got to attend? And it could be any level. And who were the stars in that game?
You ready? I won't remember the specifics, but I do. And I'm going to tell you, it was a game when Wilt Chamberlain was playing at the Palestra, and a fella who coached like what today would be AAU teams, it's a black gentleman by the name of Willie Draper, who became a dear friend, and he took me to that game and introduced me to Wilt outside the locker room after the game.
Wow.
Yeah, and my recollection is not how many points Wilt scored, not who the teams were. Obviously, Wilt's playing for Overbrook. What I remember was when Chamberlain came out of the locker room door, and I looked up, and my feeling was I'm barely above his belt buckle. That was my sense of how immense he was.
Oh my goodness!
That's my memory.
Yeah, he probably had to duck significantly to get out of that locker room. I know that. I know that door jam. Yeah. All right, we'll catch up again soon. Thank you so much.
Always fun, D.
All right, thanks, Coach. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for calling on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. There are some good basketball stories out there, Nat, today. That's for sure. The Palestra. I bet he could share a lot of memories. That was his home court when he played for St. Joe's back in the day. He always told me, you know, can you imagine that your home court was on somebody else's campus? And, you know, that's where you played all of your home games. Now they don't do that because they have the field house at St. Joe's, and that's where they do play their games. 610-632-0975. If you have a Hall of Fame story of any type, please share. And I have a few of them. One's from being at inductions of Hall of Fame. And the most recent time that I've been up there at Naismith, which, of course, this great class will go in September, if all goes right in the world. I guess you could always do it virtually, like a lot of things are being done these days. But anyhow, if you have somebody even locally that got into some kind of local Hall of Fame. And we also threw out there that, you know, for you, you might have a personal sports moment that we can't all be the best at what we try to do. We can enjoy it beyond. But you might have a personal moment that stands out as, you know, a peak of what you did athletically through the years. And some people, it may be when you were a kid. And for others, as I said, we can still find great sports that we enjoy doing as we get along in life, too. And we can find ways to compete at that level also. So if you have something like that, we're willing to listen. And I also was looking at earlier I had said that the leagues had all gotten on a call and talked about things to do when sports get back. I know that Trump has said, you know, they will come back. We need them back. I've seen a couple things cross on Twitter that, you know, talks, you really can't go there yet because we still have a ways to go. But I saw where Adam Silver's name was mentioned. And part of the just news of the day was that for right now, Trump seems to think that the NFL can start on time in September. Now, whether that comes to be to fruition and be true, I know I saw an article by the governor of California that thinks there's a lot that needs to happen before that could happen. And I agree with that part of it as well. It is also the fourth anniversary of Villanova winning the 2016 NCAA championship. And that great shot. I know last week we talked about it because they were... No, last week actually they ran the earlier Villanova championship because that took place 35 years ago on April 1st. But today is actually the fourth anniversary of the 2016. I'm sure there are a ton of people in Philadelphia that were at that game, and I can only imagine the emotions that must have been running high as that game was unfolding. And I just saw on... Thank you, Nat. I loved Charles Barkley's reaction when the quote shot went down, and he was sitting at that dais or the desk because they were going to have post game, and he was obviously has been a part of those college for the last couple of years, you know, doing pre and post like he does for the NBA, and he was a natural to be there for that Villanova one. For a couple of reasons, obviously, he's spending a lot of time in Philadelphia starting his NBA career, but also his daughter had gone to Villanova for her college experience. So, and you become part of the fabric of this city. But that reaction, I think it was Mike Jensen of The Inquirer who put up, or somebody did on Twitter, and to help you remember this day 4 years ago and what that reaction was like. And then a parade followed, not that long after. 610-632-0975. We're talking about Hall of Famers. We're talking about Final Four weekend. And also just your personal athletic accomplishments at some point that we can't all get inducted into a Hall of Fame, but we can feel proud of something that we accomplished and it still sticks out even to this day. Maybe it wasn't that long ago. Or maybe it was, you know, as me, when I was 10 years old and I won a foul shooting contest. I still have that trophy. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Big old length to the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship. The national champions with Jenkins hitting the winner at the buzzer.
Oh, what a moment, what a moment. Archie Diacono to Chris Jenkins, and then they went crazy. Really phenomenal. Think about it. Yeah, I know that John Clark of NBC Sports put up there, you know, the greatest shot in championship game history. And, you know, you have to say, yeah, I'd have to go and look. I mean, Jordan won it on a shot. There's probably been others. That'd be a good debate, is to find those moments, shining moments at championship level, that win it for people. I did see, I wonder if this was trying to rank the Hall of Fame class compared to others. Now, I mentioned that there's been some amazing ones that have gone into the Hall of Fame together. And one of the ones that I thought was outstanding happened in 2016, I believe, when it was Allen Iverson, Shaquille O'Neal, Yao Ming, Cheryl Swoop from the WNBA, Tom Izzo was there from college basketball, or going in. And, you know, where in this particular ESPN article, they would put the Jordan class, and I'll have to see, John Stockton, I think, was in Jordan's class when he went in 09. And let's see, I think it was Jordan Stockton. Yeah, here it is. First of all, so there, that's their top one is, oh, David Robinson. So Jordan, David Robinson, and John Stockton went in 09 together, and they kind of, they have a formula that cranks it out for them. Then they would rank the one that this is, that includes Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, and Kevin Garnett. Third was Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, and Jerry Lucas. And then fourth is that one that I talked about that had Shaq, AI, Yao Ming. What a great one that was. But if you think about it, year after year, when people go into the hall, like Karl Malone, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Johnson, and Gus Johnson, they were one class. I got to get to the Barkley one. I mean, they have to have Barkley, right? Let's see. Because this is a pretty good one. Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Ray Allen, Grant Hill, Mo Cheeks. So that wasn't that long ago. I guess Barkley would have been right around maybe 05-ish. Well, it didn't make this list, and that had him, Dominique Wilkins. I mentioned Gino Auriemma, Dave Gavitt of the Big East. I think Joe Dumars might have been part of Barkley's class also. I'm gonna look that one up. That's a pretty good class to not make the top 10 of inductee classes. I mean, I know there's a lot of talent out there, but that's pretty good. Oh, this one that did make the final one, top 10, was Olajuwon, Ewing, Adrian Dantley. Oof, pretty good. As well as Pat Riley. Okay, that's pretty good. 610-632-0975. And right now, we do talk a lot about lists and where they rank, just like we were talking about that buzzer beater in 2016 for Chris Jenkins, that won Villanova, the first of their two most recent, because last weekend we were talking all about the one that Rolly Massimino and company won in the 80s, because that was, this week was 35 years, that was the 85 team. And when you are in these strange times of shut-in, I call it, you know, lists are what get you through and get you some conversation. That and telling good stories that are generated by going through the lists and seeing where, you know, what you think versus what somebody else thinks, in sports moments. So I'd love to hear, your thoughts on, one, Hall of Famers in general, and because we are going with the Kobe, Duncan, and Garnett, going to be part of the upcoming class that goes in 2020 in September. And that's a heck of a class, as I mentioned. 11 titles between the three of them. 48 All-Star appearances. What'd I say? 4 NBA Finals MVPs. I mean, just an impressive group. So we're talking about them and local Hall of Famers, you know. I think schools. I don't know if they do this, if high schools actually have them, but certainly at the college level, you know, you go through and you put people into your athletic hall of fame and athletic departments. One, it allows people to know the history of the university for people who came before you. If you happen to be a student athlete, I actually saw that's a whole nother conversation of student athletes and ones who their college careers are ending too soon because they were in the middle of, if you were a winter sport person, you didn't get to close it out with conference championships or even, you know, NCAA tournament kind of championships or play in that. And then if you are a spring athlete, those have been, they're going to be allowed to come back and use their eligibility next year. But I did see a story on the news yesterday. And while you have that opportunity to do that, I saw one girl who's been had an outstanding track and field career at St. Joe's. You know, she already has work lined up for after this year. So she did not get to add, and she's done tremendous in the A-10 championships through the years. But instead of adding to that, you know, life goes on. And so she's going to start life after being a student athlete, even though she was, you know, gypped of that senior season. So not everybody has the opportunity. The opportunity is there for spring sport athletes, but not for the winter sport. And it's not even for everybody, because if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Ivy League did not agree to do that. That, like, this year is considered, you know, it's in the books and we move on. I mean, there is a domino effect, because if you're a student athlete and you have an incoming class, now if you were allowing this year's class of seniors to participate again next year, what do you do? Do you expand the rosters? And for those freshmen who made those decisions, now there may be people playing in front of them that weren't supposed to be there because they would have graduated. So no matter which way you go, these are not easy decisions, because there is always somebody who's affected one way or another by whatever decision is made. And so here we are in these strange times. But I have enjoyed talking about some of these Hall of Fame careers and the beginning of, in particular, Kobe and Kevin Garnett, because we have had Sonny Vaccaro and then my father, having been able to know these people at a young age when those two guys were coming out of college, I mean, high school, not college, to play in, quote, a man's world, and people thinking they were crazy to be doing it because nobody had done it for 20 years. Moses Malone did it in 75. He was a unique talent for sure, and then it didn't happen for 20 years until KG made that decision. Kevin McHale knew he was a talent, and voila, he was picked number 5 in 1995. But coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, I am going to talk to a gentleman who does come from Philadelphia, Bill Schoening, who's a Philadelphia native, but he's a longtime San Antonio Spurs announcer. And, you know, Duncan's situation coming into the league, a little different because David Robinson was already there, but he hadn't played the year that Duncan gets drafted, which is 97. And because he was hurt. And so now San Antonio is going to get a healthy David Robinson back, as well as the number one pick in the 97 draft, which turns out to be Tim Duncan. And what a career he ends up having, and what a career for a broadcaster. Because I know, just having been a sideline person for the 10 years Iverson was here, you know, it's phenomenal to be able to watch those kind of talents night in and night out throughout their career. And it's a privilege, to be honest with you. And so I can't wait to hear what Bill has to say coming up. He actually sent me a picture, because my father is a West Catholic graduate, and so is Bill. And he has a picture from one of the Sixers Spurs games through the years of the two of them together pregame. So we all bring it back to just the people that we meet, know, stay connected through the years in this great world of sports. And while it pales in comparison to what's happening in the world right now, it is good to be able to share stories and remember games and remember things that were a time when life seemed a whole lot simpler than it seems right now. And that's why, you know, on sports radio, we take different topics and we hope that it spurs some kind of memory for you out there. And even I was saying, you know, some of those Hall of Fame moments when you see inductions and whatnot, they help you remember careers that people did have. So, like, for instance, Tracy McGrady, somebody said, you know, I don't know if he belongs in there, but he was a multiple scoring champ in the NBA. He definitely had his career cut short by injury. He had the back problems, but I didn't realize he was like the first YouTube basketball sensation, apparently, because people in China were watching, paying attention to those Houston Rockets teams because of Yao Ming. And Tracy McGrady was on those teams. And he was huge in China. So, you know, his ability to score in terms of being an athlete who could get to the rim and also shoot the three. Like, he was the beginning of being able to do it all in that way. So you can debate whether he deserves to be in there, but I said earlier on that was one of his first lines when he found out that he was being inducted into the Hall of Fame. His wife at the time, I guess you get told that he was told that he was on the list in February, and then you find out Final Four weekend if you are going in, but she said, go look in the mirror and tell yourself you deserve this honor. And that was part of his speech when later in that year that he was, in fact, inducted in September, that he delivered. And it was pretty moving at the time. 610-632-0975. I am D. Lynam. Love to hear your stories. And what do you think of this current Hall of Fame class? I mean, it does have a Philadelphia connection with Kobe Bryant. Unfortunately, we won't get to hear his speech going in. Too sad for sure. But we knew he was going to be a Hall of Famer. I think a lot of people were looking forward, and we knew he was in a special class. Where would you put this class compared to some of the others that have gone in? And your moment in time, your shining moment, as they say on Final Four weekend. What was it? How old were you? What did you accomplish? We'd love to hear. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Well, it's dinner time for many right around now on this Saturday evening in the Delaware Valley, and small businesses are the backbone of our local communities. Right now, they could use our help. Introducing 97.5 The Fanatic's Operation Shop Local. Our initiative is set up to encourage gift card purchases from your local business and to highlight those offering home delivery or curbside pickup. Business owners can go to 97.5 The Fanatic and list yours in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. Operation Shop Local, because we are all in this together. From the Beasley Media Group and 97.5 The Fanatic. I am D. Lynam. I'll be with you until 7 o'clock, and then the great Devon Givens will be coming in on a weekend appearance for him. I was noticing just some highlights from, I mentioned how earlier local North American sports executives were on a conference call with President Donald Trump, and part of what Adam Silver's message was that sports leagues would love to lead an economic restart once given the all clear from public health officials. At least that's what he told both Adam Schefter and Adrian Wojnarowski. So he was on that. Silver was on that call. Obviously, the NBA was the first to shut down during this pandemic. And that was on March 11th after the Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert had tested positive for the coronavirus. And then after that, it was the next day that, quote, the NHL paused its season indefinitely. And then Major League Baseball later would confirm that their season would not start on time. The NFL season obviously is not happening now, right now. From this conversation, Trump said that, you know, it looks as if you can still start the NFL season on time. He told commissioners during Saturday's call that he expects the football season to do exactly that. There's no general time frame for a potential NBA return amid the pandemic. But I will say I saw an earlier article, not by the same person, but that suggested when the NBA asked its players to take a 50% pay cut, that that part of that conversation, and then the Players Association came back with countered with 25%, that that conversation was just setting the table to possibly, if they have to do that, meaning shut down the season, then, you know, that would allow them to survive this. So anyhow, we'll see how it plays out. In that same article, it said that they wouldn't see the NBA making that permanent decision of whether to cancel the season before June 1st. And that's, you know, still 8 weeks away, roughly. So we shall see. I do know that on April 15th, which is now only 11 days away, the NBA will have missed 259 regular season games. And that would have been the final day of the regular season. Then we would have been gearing up for the NBA playoffs. I did hear where I saw the board of the different 2K players. I believe tomorrow there's more of that tournament. Well, there's different tournaments happening, but there's some that are for players only who are actually NBA players playing the 2K. I know Kevin Durant's name was one of the first that crossed my on Twitter when they announced this during the week as being somebody who was playing. But I'll be interested to see, you know, who makes it the furthest. Well, eventually there'll be a champion, but and how often are they playing? Not now. Now you have a ton of time on your hands, but before this pandemic, how often do these guys get to play their video games? I mean, I know that there's been a spike in my household with two young guys who, you know, they do their schoolwork in the morning, and by the time the afternoon, you know, they do go out occasionally, but, you know, a lot of it is playing, and there's all these new challenges and different tiers depending on the game that you're playing, and they play multiple games, so, I mean, it becomes a lot. And they are socializing because there's people that they're playing with. They play duos. They play by themselves. They play as a group. You know, there's one of the games they play. I know there's at least four of them that are always on, and they're talking to each other in their headsets. And I say to myself as I'm sitting in the living room, you know, what a world. And also being grateful that they do have people to talk to. And I think of, you know, people who, one, maybe have an only child, two, people who have young kids that are, you know, under the age of five, who can't understand why they can't go outside and why they're not seeing other people. You know, it's a little more difficult. And all of a sudden, a whole family is in the house all day long. So some of it is tough for sure. But people get through it, and we all are. So how are you getting through it? And two, when you hear like this news of today where, you know, these leagues are waiting for health officials to give them the all clear. I think most of us feel like we're still ways away from that. All you have to do is turn on the news every night and you see we're just not there. And unfortunately, we're going to get worse before we do get something like that. And hopefully, you know, a second coming of this is not, you know, right around the corner from when we do get an all clear. Exactly. So we are in a holding pattern for sure from a sports world standpoint. But two things we're talking about today. One, the 2020 Hall of Fame class, basketball, that includes the big names being Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, and Tim Duncan. And I did have to go and find that Charles Barkley. I didn't realize he went into the hall twice because the Dream Team from 92 actually got inducted as a group in 2010. I'd like to know. I mean, I know that the Globetrotters are in there as a group. I know that the Immaculata College team went in eventually. It took forever, but they're in there as a group. But anyhow, Barkley went in there in 2010 with the Dream Team, but he had been inducted as an individual in 2006. And I was like, man, I remember that being a great class. But then I realized when you look and where ESPN was ranking them in Barkley's class in terms of the NBA players, not Gino Auriemma, obviously titles left and right with his Connecticut teams, but like Charles didn't win one. Dumars did. He had the back-to-back with the Pistons, the Bad Boys. Dominique was in that class. I thought there was one more. But the point is that it didn't have the same ilk as when I say 11 championships by the group of KG, Kobe, and Tim Duncan. So that's how they rank that. But when I maybe part of it was also that particular 2006 class, they did a lot. This is when I don't know why they did this so much then, but they kind of went around. Maybe that's, I know why, because they had just redone the Hall of Fame up there in Springfield and they were promoting, they wanted people to come and see this new museum, I call it. And so those guys went around and they, you know, kind of promoted their class. So they were such a good group together and had such great personalities that's why they had stood out to me, because they did do these appearances from Final Four weekend to when they were inducted in September of 2006. So that's why they stood out in my mind, maybe more so than for others that were ranking them in terms of accomplishment combined of the particular class. 610-632-0975. First, on the other side, we're going to talk to Bill Schoening, who is a Philadelphia native, West Catholic grad, and longtime radio announcer of the San Antonio Spurs. And I'd love to get his thoughts on this particular Hall of Fame class and Tim Duncan in general, because what a phenomenal career he had. We had a couple of callers who said if they had to pick one of the three, just this class, to start a team, which of the three would you choose? And Tim Duncan was named on numerous occasions. As I said, there is no wrong answer when you're picking one of these big three. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.